Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tuning in with us today. And we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In a few moments, we will continue and today conclude our series of studies on the topic, Three Steps to Maturity. We're looking at how we as believers in the dispensation of grace can live our lives as mature adult sons of God. The principles that we need to put into effect and into practice in our lives in order that we might grow up into Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 is our starting point for this series of studies. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. So you might want to take a moment now, get your Bibles, and find the fourth chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. As you do that, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program today, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us if you have questions or comments about what you're hearing on the program today, or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. We have a mail address, web address, and also a toll-free phone number. We'll give you all of those at the end of the program, and you can contact us in any one of those ways, as I said, with questions or comments, also to receive the materials that we offer. This will be the last week that we offer this current series of studies on the three steps to maturity. So if you'd like to receive that, you need to write to us this week or contact us this week and let us know. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 14. Ephesians 4 verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. In Ephesians 4, Paul tells us that God's desire for us is that we be no more children in verse 14, but in verse 15, that we grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. So the transition that Paul wants us to make is from children to adults. He wants us to mature in the faith, to be built up, to no longer be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. We saw last week that the contrast that Paul draws there is between babes in Christ and mature adults. We saw further in our beginning studies that the church in Paul's epistles that exemplifies the babes in Christ is the church at Corinth. The church that exemplifies mature believers in that they were in samples to all those that believe is the church at Thessalonica. And let's just pick up a couple of verses to demonstrate that, just by way of review and reminder here in this last of this series. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he says this, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. That's where we get the term babes, that they were babes in Christ at Corinth. They're children. Paul says in Ephesians 4 that I desire that you be no more children, no more babes in Christ. If you look there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, you see the other end of that spectrum, verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Paul says, you, church at Thessalonica, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. You were in samples in Macedonia and Achaia, and your faith to God's word is spread abroad. You see, the church at Thessalonica, they were mature. They were mature believers, and as such, Paul says, they were in samples to all that believe. They served as an illustration and as a living demonstration of what the life of Christ functioning in a fully equipped, mature saint is. The trip, the journey from Corinth to Thessalonica is the journey from infancy to maturity for the believer. And if we can understand the principles that were existent in Thessalonica that were not existent in Corinth, if we can understand what the church at Thessalonica did that the church at Corinth failed to do, then we can understand that move on toward maturity. We've seen three principles. We've been looking at the three principles that were evident and apparent in the church at Thessalonica and were not evident and apparent in the church at Corinth. If you keep your hand here in 1 Thessalonians and in 1 Corinthians, get chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We read of those three principles in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Paul says, I thought, I acted, I spake as a child, now I'm putting those things away. And how do I operate now? Verse 13, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Paul says, I, as a babe, as a child, I operated based on childish things. But as I moved on to maturity, I put away those childish things and I moved on to adult things. In the context of 1 Corinthians 13, the childish things are the gifts, those things that are in part, the prophecy and the tongues and the healing, those things that are abiding. Now abideth these three. Some things are passing away, some things are abiding. Faith, hope, charity. Those three. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Those three, your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. Faith, hope, and charity. I remember those three things there. I remember how your work was a work of faith. I remember how your labor was a labor of love. I remember how you did a work of faith as a labor of love, and you did it with the patience of hope. I remember that. And because of that, you are mature. You are in samples to all that believe. So if we too in our lives can operate based on faith, love, and hope. Faith, hope, and charity. Then we too can be in samples. We too can be mature saints. Now, we have spent a week looking at a work of faith and what it is, at a labor of love and what it is. We saw that a work of faith is a work that is not rewarded outwardly, openly, immediately. But rather, doing a work of faith means that you might not see the reward for that. In fact, you will not see the reward for that. You can see that in Paul's life. Paul says, I've fought a good fight, finished my course, I've kept the faith. Yet Paul's life, he was not rewarded for that keeping of the faith. He suffered tremendously because he did keep the faith. His work was a work of faith, not of sight, not one that he could see reward for. A labor of love. A labor that's motivated, a service that's motivated, not out of fear, but out of love. Out of charity. Charity, that it's interesting. In 1 Corinthians, the word charity is used in your King James Bible. In Thessalonians, Paul says, I remember your labor of love. That tells you something about charity. Your Bible helps define its own terms. And when labor is put with love, it becomes charity. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Charity is commended love. It's when you act upon your love. It's when it becomes a labor of love. that it becomes charity. And the example of that we see in Scripture is Christ, as I just quoted the verse. God commended His love toward us. He acted upon that love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. A work of charity, a labor of love. That's the kind of labor that we're to have. Not a labor motivated by fear, not because we're afraid God's going to get us if we don't serve Him, but motivated by His love toward us and our love returned to Him because He first loved us. And finally today, the patience of hope. We do this work of faith and this labor of love with the patience of hope. Now, what exactly does that mean? And you'll recall that each week, as we looked at this principle, the work of faith, the labor of love, we saw how that principle works in the dispensation of grace was not the principle that was in play in the Old Testament under the law. Under the law, it was not a work of faith. It was immediate, visible reward for your service or punishment for your lack of service. It was not a labor of love. They were motivated by fear that you'll learn to fear the Lord your God and serve Him always. What about the patience of hope? Well, if you turn back to the book of Exodus, chapter 14, there's an interesting passage here, and you can learn much about the nation Israel and how God dealt with them in Exodus 14 and 15. Exodus 14 and 15, in fact, all the way back to Exodus 12, as God's beginning to prepare them to bring them out of the land of Egypt. This bringing of Israel out of the land of Egypt, they have the first Passover, they sacrifice that Passover lamb, put the blood on the lintels and on the doorposts. He brings them out to the Red Sea, He delivers them out through the Red Sea, out into the wilderness. All of that is very typical of God's dealings with Israel then on through the years. All of that is very typical of what God is going to do for that nation as they move on out in time and in fulfilling His purpose. You see healing talked about for the first time in the context of this whole process. You see Moses, puts his hand in and it becomes leprous and all that. That's back earlier in the book of Exodus. But all of that is preparing Israel for this deliverance. And that deliverance is going to set the stage for the way God deals with that nation from then on. And notice, as that's relevant to the patience of hope, let's notice something specifically in chapter 14 and verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Now, listen to that verse and understand the context. Israel is being led out of captivity in Egypt. The Red Sea is in front of them. The armies of Pharaoh are behind them, the armies of Egypt. They're trapped. And God says to Moses, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Notice that deliverance that Israel is going to receive, that salvation in the physical context. We're talking here about physical salvation from an earthly threat, from an earthly enemy. And He said, how long is it going to take Israel to see that salvation? Well, the verse says, "which the Lord will show you today." How long did Israel have to patiently wait for their deliverance from Egypt, from the armies of Egypt? Today. He will show you His deliverance today. You will see it today. And that sets a pattern for God's dealings with the nation Israel, that calling them forth out of bondage, calling them forth out of captivity, and he does things for them and treats them away and deals with them, takes them into the wilderness, feeds them with manna from heaven, provides for their water with water from the rock, does all these things that is telling Israel, I am your provider. Not just in a spiritual sense, but in a physical sense. I will provide what you need today. If you're in trouble today, I will deliver you today. Call upon me today and you will be saved today in a physical sense, out of that trial, out of that difficulty, out of that circumstance. Not a lot of patience is required. Now let's look at a contrast to that. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Remember, Israel's deliverance was a deliverance that they could see and a deliverance that came immediately, a deliverance that came today. Their hope was fulfilled right away, today. Their hope was to be delivered from the armies of Pharaoh. God said, today, you'll see that. Listen to how Paul talks about our physical delivery. And this is physical deliverance here in Romans chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. The patience of hope. If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We patiently wait for the redemption of our body. Keep your hand right there and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, just so that we understand this patient waiting for redemption has nothing to do with our salvation in a spiritual sense, with our eternal life, with our spiritual blessings. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption. Redemption is not, in the spiritual sense, something we look for in the future. Redemption is something we have right now through His blood. The forgiveness of sins is something we have right now through His blood. But we do wait for, in Romans chapter 8, the redemption of our body. That's what we wait for. And how do we wait for it? Well, we wait in hope. Notice verse 24. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? We are saved by hope. We are saved from the despair. The creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan under the weight and the travail of the curse of sin, but we are saved from despair and saved from the total despair of creation because we have hope. We have a hope. What is our hope? Our hope is the redemption of our body. Our hope, our confident expectation. Hope is defined for you in this passage. If you look up to verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earnest expectation. Your hope is an earnest expectation. It's something that you're confident about. I expect that my body will be redeemed. That as my soul and spirit have been delivered from the curse and delivered from the penalty of sin, so my body of flesh shall be delivered from the curse and be delivered from the penalty of sin. That's what we hope for. If we hope for that we see not, in other words, do you see that now? Do you see your deliverance today? Do you see that hope fulfilled today? Do you see your body redeemed today? Well, no, we don't. We all have these bodies of flesh that have sufferings and pains and problems and trials and difficulties. We don't see it. What a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not. You see, Israel's deliverance in the flesh wasn't something that was out there in the future. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, for the Egyptians which you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. It's going to happen today, that deliverance. Paul says, the redemption of your body, the redemption of your flesh, is a hope that you see not, but if you hope for that you see not, then do we with patience wait for it. In other words, if your confident, earnest expectation is that God is going to redeem your body of flesh, even though you don't see it now, you with patience wait for it. The patience of hope. See, that's different than what we're taught often today. You know, as we conclude this series of studies, it's important that we understand that most of the church is over here as babes in Christ. Most of the professing church today functions as babes in Christ, not as mature adult saints. Most of the professing church is over here in Corinth, not in Thessalonica. Well, what do you mean? How is that? Why is that? Because most believers are not doing a work of faith. But as most believers are not serving the Lord, fully understanding that I'm not going to gain any benefit in this life from serving the Lord. I could be like Paul. I could be beaten and shipwrecked, and a night and day have I been in the deep, and perils of waters, perils of waters, perils of my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city. Paul lists all those things that had happened to him, and yet in the midst of all of that, he was keeping the faith. Now, how can you be keeping the faith and have all that stuff happen to you? Well, because our faith, our work today, is a work of faith. Not something that we see. Yet today we're taught oftentimes that you can determine God's pleasure or displeasure with your service by your physical circumstances. If you're healthy and wealthy and life is going great, then God must be pleased with you. On the other hand, if you're suffering some kind of sickness or financial setback or some other problem, it could mean that God is not pleased. It could mean that God is chastening you. See, that's not a work of faith. That's not the attitude of a mature saint. We're told today many times by the professing church that, and this kind of ties into that first issue, the work of faith, that labor of love, that you better serve the Lord because if you don't, He'll get you. He'll chasten you. Have you ever heard people say, well, you know, you either give God his tithe willingly or He'll get it out of you unwillingly. Have you ever had someone try to motivate you by fear? You better serve the Lord or else. You see, that's a very popular way of motivating believers to serve today. That's living over as babes in Corinth, not as mature adult sons in Thessalonica. Patience of hope. Much of the church world today is focused on how can my body be made well? How can I prosper financially? How can life be a bed of roses? That's why the healing movement, the so-called healing movement, grows by leaps and bounds. You can get thousands, tens of thousands of people to come to an auditorium if they think they might receive some physical benefit, they might get healed. You can get people to give tens of thousands and millions of dollars if you say, you know, if you give me some money, God will give it back to you, pressed down, shaking together, running over, a hundredfold. All of that is the way the church at Corinth operated, not the way the mature saints at Thessalonica operated. All of that is not the patience of hope. your hope, the hope for the redemption of your body, the hope for the prospering of your physical body, it's hope that is not seen. It is just what Paul says it is. It's hope, a confident, earnest expectation of some future blessing. Sadly, the church today functions as the church at Corinth, not as the church at Thessalonica. We need to move on. You as an individual, me as an individual, our local assembly, your local assembly, the church at large needs to move on from the babes at Corinth to the mature saints at Thessalonica, and we need to do that by practicing the work of faith, the labor of love, and doing it with the patience of hope. We'd like to invite you to write to us with any questions or comments that you might have about this week's series of studies, or this month's series of studies, rather. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week. This is the last week that we'll be offering this current series of studies on tape and on DVD and CD. And if you'd like to receive them, when you write to us, just request the series Three Steps to Maturity, or just mention the word maturity. We'll know what you mean. We'll be glad to get it out to you without any cost or obligation. Again, it's available on VHS, videotape, on audio tape, on CDs, and on DVDs. So when you write, if you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear that also. And then be sure to request those materials. We'll be glad to get them out to you. Next week, we'll have a brand new series of studies here on Grace Alive. We look forward to having you with us then. And until then, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.